The Gestalt Gardener podcast is brought to you by Varicosity Vein Center, providing health assessment screenings and compassionate care to improve your vascular functionality and quality of life. Our doctors and vein specialists offer solutions to painful varicose veins, spider veins, and other venous diseases to our patients. Now offering complimentary vein screenings in Jackson, Madison, and Ridgeland. Information and appointment scheduling at varicosityveincenter.com.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.
Okie dokie, folks. Welcome back. Horticulture's Felder Rushing, and I'm ready to talk about gardening. Been doing a little gardening myself. Here it is, end of January, getting close to February, almost February. And there's some stuff that could be done, some stuff to clean up from last year, some stuff to get ready for this year, some stuff to really enjoy right now. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. Again, folks, this is from the Deep South for broadcast Mississippi Public Broadcasting, 8 points across Mississippi. But we take calls from Tennessee and Alabama and Arkansas and Louisiana and pretty much any place. If you're interested in gardening, it's toll-free, 1-877-MPB-RING. I speak Oregon and California and New York, but we're talking about gardening in the Deep South. And we're going to start out this morning with Nick, who's from Tibby. And Nick, is Tibby, is it closer to West Point or Starkville?
Well, it's in between. You know where John's Grocery is?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We used to go out near you just to have a beer when I was in college.
Yeah. All the boys come through here going back and forth to pick up the girls at the W.
Well, also, it was the closest you could get a cold beer.
You're right.
So,
I live just east of there.
Okay. Well, what's,
and I live in this red prairie ground.
It's real prairie. You know, a lot of people don't realize that is really a slice of prairie. The only prairie we have in Mississippi.
Yeah. Well, so, it'll stick with you when it gets wet. Let me tell you.
Well, what you got going on?
Okay, I planted several different brands of blueberries in 2009. And I prepared the ground as you told me to do that back in 2009. And they just do poorly. They do very poorly. I know that they don't like red ground because red ground is alkaline.
It's very alkaline. That's right. You got a lot of you got a lot of limestone all around you too.
That is very, very true. And so anyway, I have nursed them with azalea food, and I've kind of done something. But now these things have been in the ground now for 13 years, and last week you said put Canadian peat moss around them.
Yeah.
How do you kill in a Canadian peat moss? I kill in anything at a bush that's that old without cutting all the roots when you kill it in?
It's really, really hard to do because blueberries like azaleas don't really have root like hollies and oaks and stuff. They got fibrous looking things. You know, it's more or less it's a spongy looking thing instead of real roots. But what you could do is you could take a turning fork, it's sort of like a pitchfork, and you could put the peat moss on the ground and then take the pitchfork and work it in and wiggle it a little bit just to make little holes and get the stuff down in the holes that way. And that'll go in between the round roots without cutting roots.
Okay, how thick should the peat moss?
There's not a good rule of thumb. It's more of a concept. These blueberries and azaleas naturally grow in those kind of peat type soils, and if you don't have that, you got to at least make them think as close as you can to that. So, if you could just work a little bit in around the roots with a pitchfork, a turning fork type thing, and then mulch with some bark mulch. That's about all you can do. And by the way, blueberries don't like a lot of fertilizer. There's one of the few plants that really, really don't like a lot of fertilizer. And so if you're going to do it, we're talking about a scant handful per bush.
Well,
so don't push them too much. Yeah, I know. It's acid for me.
The azalea, right? Because I'm trying to keep the ground acid. Keep the pH low.
Yeah, but see, you could get this stuff called aluminum sulfate. Or in England, it was aluminium sulfate. But anyway, aluminum sulfate is a liquid soil acidifier that you can mix with water and pour around the plants.
Okay. You get that at your co-op?
If they don't have it, they can get it. You know, they have trucks coming by at least once a week, and their suppliers carry a little bottle of aluminum sulfate. But don't overdo it. You know, just to, if you want to do that a couple of times a year, use it about half, whatever it says, mix in a gallon of water. Put that in 2 gallons of water and pour it around it every few weeks.
Yeah. Okay. I'll do that. That's another problem that I have is I just can't seem to either they're too wet or they're too dry.
I know. It's clay soil. I mean, you know, it's a habitat thing. You know, some plants grow in clay and they don't want to be in anything but clay. Some don't want to be in clay at all. And that includes blueberries. So, you know, one thing you could do is if you could get some, you know, if you could get a little peat moss and mix it with some fairly good dirt, you know, not necessarily dirt, but pretty close to it, and sort of lightly work it in the top few inches around your plant so it's mounded up. So, you know, and the blueberries grow roots in that. So, you know, and that'll help on the drainage. So just, you know, mix some peat moss with some real dirt and then sort of put it around your plants and work that in. And that'll partly get it in the ground between your roots and it'll partly mound it up a little bit. Sort of like almost like a baseball pitcher's mound, a fire ant mound, not too big. And that'll help a little bit.
Well, I'm going to give it a try, and if it doesn't work this year, I'm going to do away with my blueberries and do something else.
Good luck on it, man. Appreciate it, Nick.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you, Felder.
All righty. Now, let's slide down the road to Union. Hey, Ashley, how are you, sir?
Hey, Felder.
What's up, man?
I've got a question about starting seeds.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried to tackle this for about 5 years, and I've winter sowed, I've indoor started, I've done just about everything, and I've had mixed results.
Yeah.
And I want your advice on seed starting mix, timing, indoor, outdoor.
Well, I mean, it's a whole book there, but in general, what seeds need to sprout is moisture and warmth. You know, not too wet, but moisture and warmth. And humidity helps a lot. So whether you're doing them inside or out, if it's not warm enough, they're either going to be real slow or when they come up, you know, they can rot because they just need good warm temperatures, 60, 70 degrees or so. So, you know, right off the bat, starting them indoors, you already have that. The problem is indoors is low humidity. And so if you'll just take your seed stuff and put some plastic forks or something so you can make a little tent of plastic over it, like a little greenhouse, that'll keep the humidity high around the seeds till they sprout. And when they sprout, you can take the plastic off. But that humidity and warmth is what it takes to get them started.
Now, Good Friday is our normal planting date around Mississippi. So tell me about timing.
Well, you know, I don't know how to say that. I plant all the time. There's summer stuff, there's winter stuff, there's fall stuff, spring stuff. You can have two back-to-back summer gardens, plant tomatoes and peppers and stuff in April, and then you can turn around at the end of July or August and plant them all over again and have a complete back-to-back two gardens. See, so we have a long summer season. The middle of the summer is really, really hot, so we try to avoid that. But if you plant stuff for summer in late March or April when the soil has warmed up, if you got raised beds, it warms up a little bit quicker. But the soil doesn't really warm up until April. The temperatures are fine, but the dirt's cold, and that's rough on roots. So April or May is typically when we plant, maybe late March for summertime, and you can keep planting summer stuff up until around the first week or so in August and get a good harvest before frost. That's summer stuff. For cool season stuff like cabbage and broccoli and carrots and beets and stuff, they don't like the summertime, they don't like the wintertime, but you can plant them in the late summer for a fall harvest, and you can plant them February or early March for a spring harvest. So it sounds complicated, but basically the cool season stuff that won't take summer, you can plant them in late August, September, 1st of October, and then you can plant them again in late February or March and get a harvest. For summer stuff, I'd wait till the soil warms up in April. The Good Friday thing is great, but that's based on the moon and the phases and all this. You know, that's just basically what they're saying is wait till the soil warms up because Good Friday can change from March to April. So
thank you.
You bet. April is when I wouldn't plant any summer stuff before April except maybe corn, which will take cool temper, and that's about it.
Thanks for the information.
Okay, good luck on it.
All right, thanks.
Starting stuff from C. Moisture without being too wet and humidity and warmth. That's what C's need to sprout. If you can do them inside, let me give you one more quick tip. If you can start stuff from seed. A lot of people start them inside and they come up and they leave them inside and they get long and leggy and weak because they need sunshine, direct sunshine, to stiffen up their stems for good, short, sturdy cell growth. So if you start them inside, as soon as they come up good, put on that second set of leaves, put them outside in the sunshine. Put them out where they get real sunshine. As long as it's above 45 or 50, the real sunshine will make them sturdy and stocky. Cool temperatures, direct sunshine. But if you keep them inside, they get long and leggy and floppy, they're just going to be miserable when you set them out. So once you get them up, give them sunshine every day you can, as long as you can, as long as it's above 45 or 50 degrees. So anyway, let's slide back to Jackson. Hey, Jim, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Felder. Jim Rosenblatt here. I've got a Luther Burbank question for you.
Okay.
I had some late planted peppers, and two of the plants made it through the winter, even though they were outside. In fact, I ate peppers from them yesterday.
Yeah.
Would it be to my advantage to try to get the seeds from those? Have I bred a more hardy type of pepper plant?
Well, it's a good idea, but to answer your first question, you can save seeds if you want to, but if you bought the plants as hybrids, their seeds aren't going to be hybrid seeds. But no, peppers will take, I had a pepper for almost 6 years one time. You know, they're perennial bushes that will freeze if we get a hard freeze. But I've had peppers go through the wintertime in a protected place. As long as they'll take a frost, maybe in town a light freeze because there's radiated heat from the ground. But peppers, as long as they're protected from freezes, they can live for years. And same thing with cotton. Cotton can live for a long time. It just freezes in the winter.
So this plant, I should keep it hoed and irrigated?
It's just a pepper plant, whatever it takes to keep it going. You know, if you mulch it, and as long as we don't have a hard freeze, and you get it through the next month or so, give it a little fertilizer and let it keep on going. I've got a little small chili piquin pepper, a little bird's eye pepper that's made it through several winters.
Well, I look forward to continued production then. Thanks, Felder.
All right. Appreciate it, Jim. And by the way, there's a Jim has helped out with the roses in the cemetery downtown Jackson. Greenwood Cemetery is an old garden park type cemetery from the 1820s. And one block north of the state capitol, right downtown. And next week on February the 6th, the rose folks are going to get out there and do some pruning, and they're going to take cuttings, and they're going to root roses. And these are not stuffy people. These are hands-on gardeners. And the roses that they grow in Greenwood Cemetery, there's a couple hundred, I guess, out there. There's two or three dozen different kinds. They bloom from spring till frost. They're not grafted. They grow on their own roots. They root like ringing a bell. And if you want to help out, if you want to learn how to prune roses, if you want to learn how to root roses and get all the cuttings you could take, these folks will show you how to do it. It's free. It's going to be downtown Jackson, one block north of the state capitol, Greenwood Cemetery, a historic old cemetery, next Saturday, February the 6th. And in the morning, bring some gloves, bring a face mask, because they're going to they got 3, 4, 5, 8 acres out there. There's going to be plenty of social distance. But I'll be down there too, because there's a rose I've had my eye on, and I want to get some cuttings off of it. So anyway, me and Java and Kevin and all the folks here at MPB, we could take about a minute and a half, 2 minute break and come back with more calls. Got the lines wide open if you want to shoot us a call. 1-8-7 MPB ring. We'll tell it in a bit. When we come back, we'll get the number. Horticulture's Felder to Rushing. Ask me about azaleas, but not strings of numbers.
On Southern Remedy Healthy and Fit, you get information about foods you should eat to stay in good health and tips on how to stay active. I'm Dr. Josie Bidwell, host of Southern Remedy Healthy and Fit, and Associate Professor of Preventive Medicine at the University of Mississippi Medical Center. Listen to the show every Monday at 11, or subscribe to the podcast by searching for Southern Remedy with your preferred podcasting app.
Mm-hmm. Okie doke, folks. Welcome back. Yeah, I've got a sort of a numbers dyslexia. You know, I'll admit it. People who've known me for a long time know that I can't remember strings of numbers. I just can't do it. And people say, well, sure. No, I can't. My Social Security number? Yeah, because it was stenciled on my underwear when I was in the Navy. You know, my own phone number. Yeah, I can remember that. But sometimes, anyway, if you want to give us a call, it's toll-free 1-877-MPB-RING. Before we take the calls, let me hold up a leaf for Java to look at. Java, you know our state tree, our magnolia?
Yes, sir.
They get huge. I mean, they get the size of a whale. That's a big leaf. It's about, what, 8, 9, or 10 inches long? And a lot of people don't plant magnolias because the trees get too big. But look at this one, the little smaller leaf, same shiny green, furry on the back. This is called Little Jim, and it's about a little bit longer than my – it's not as big as my hand. Little Jim is a compact dwarf magnolia discovered in North Carolina. So people don't want to have our state flower, our state tree. Little Jim is tough, is durable, is compact, and it blooms longer than any other magnolia. I'm just saying.
My grandmother – had what's the other one, just a plain magnolia?
Yeah, regular magnolia grandiflora, which means big flower.
That's what she had in her yard in Oxford.
Yeah, a little gem will fit, and it's the little flowers are about the size of a cupped hand, and it blooms longer than any of the magnolia. But it's a landscape. It's really a large shrub, a narrow thing rather than a small tree. So I'm just saying, the reason I mention that, because today for my little show and tell thing, I brought magnolia leaves. I grabbed the palmetto, which has a native palm leaf, grows all the way up to Tennessee. I brought some yaupon hollies with the little small leaves and the red berries, and a cedar tree and a pine tree, just to show the different shapes and textures of leaves you can have in the wintertime from just trees.
Oh yeah, that is springtime green. Something I would say that's springtime green in the heart of January.
Well, you know, a lot of people, they think about flower arrangements. You know, you have spiky stuff or roundy stuff from filler stuffs, mass line and filler and all that stuff. You could do that trees to an evergreen magnolia, the big old coarse, dark, shiny green leaves, a frilly looking mid-green pine or cedar beside it, palmetto up under it. You could have a nice looking combination with just three or four trees in a small area that looks like a big flower arrangement. I'm just saying. And they're all native. They like it here. So anyway, let's get back to the phone calls. We're going to start out with Bill calling from Neshoba County. Hey, Bill, howdy.
How you doing?
So far, so good. So
I have a question about next weekend and getting cuttings from the cemetery.
Okay.
Do I need to have a greenhouse to put them in?
No.
I can just stick them into the ground and root them that way?
I got a flower bed. I have a kind of a small garden that's full of a bunch of junky plants. I've been a plantaholic for a long time. But I've got three flower beds that I plant flowers in every year, because just three of them makes it look like I got flowers everywhere, but I don't have to water everything. But the dirt's pretty good. And in the wintertime, I plant pansies and violas and daffodils and stuff like that. I just stick cuttings in between those. December, January, February, good time to root. I take cuttings about the size of a pencil. I just stick them down in between my winter flowers. And then when it's time to dig the winter stuff up and plant summer stuff, roses got roots on them.
Great.
You know, I mean, you could use root stimulator if you want to. Does it help? Yeah. Is it necessary? No. Aunt Mamie never did that. You know, you could, but the idea is get small cuttings, though. The little skinny stuff on the tips of the branches doesn't root very good. Big old thick stuff further down doesn't root. So if you'll take a stem that grew this past summer and the stuff in between, not quite as big around as a pencil, not quite that long, you can get two or three or four cuttings out of one branch. And just remember which end is up and which end is down. And other than that, just stick them in the dirt and take it from there.
Great. Okay, I got another question about, I heard you talking earlier about spring planting.
Uh-huh.
Some trees in my backyard and the daffodils are, well, the trees are leafing out and the daffodils are 4 or 5 inches up, and it's not even February yet. Do they know something I don't know, or are they going to get whacked back down?
Well, better than that, they don't care. They were doing this stuff before we and humans invented time. Our way to measure time. No, I've got daffodils that started blooming as early as Thanksgiving and Christmas, and there's some that bloom in February, most of the late January, February. the bulk of the daffodils here in the Deep South, the Daffodil Society usually has its show in March. But there's a whole bunch of that bloom earlier than that, which actually do better in the South than do up further north because they don't need as much cold weather. They bloom, they get out of the way before springtime. So there's quite a few daffodils that bloom in late January, February, early part of March. And cold doesn't bother them at all.
Well, what about my leafed out maple?
Yeah, it's a little confused. We're going to have to wait and see what happens. You know, the worst that can happen is a hard freeze, a burn it back, and it'll have to start back over again.
Okay, so it's not going to be like permanent damage.
No, there's a lot of plants that bloom in March and in first part of April. They're already their buds are starting to swell up because plants tell time not by hours but by the amount of cold temperatures they get in the wintertime. And it's above freezing but below 45. Those are called chilling hours. And when they get a certain number of chilling hours, they think it's spring, first warm day that comes along. And we've had plenty of chilling hours already, that, you know, again, below 45 but above freezing. So, you know, overall, they'll be fine.
Okay, great.
And ain't squat you can do about it anyway, Bill.
I just want a reason to worry.
Well, just read the news.
Oh, there you go.
Or better yet, go out in the garden and just forget about the news.
Okay.
Good luck, Bill. Okay, appreciate it. Now, there's sometimes plants get burnt back. Sometimes because a lot of the plants we grow are from Asia or from Africa, South America. They're from Pacific Northwest. Or a lot of our plants are native to Europe that we plant, and they have a different time schedule than our native plants do. But for the most part, if a plant's been around for a long time in a lot of gardens, it's because we figured out that overall, in general, they'll do okay. I wouldn't worry about it. So now let's slide up to South Haven, almost to Memphis. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning.
Hello. What's up?
I bought last fall, I guess, some gourmet salad mix, the leaf lettuce combo, and I have enjoyed it so much. It's the first time I ever grew lettuce, and I've still got romaine, you know, in the middle of January. It's pretty cool. But now it's starting to grow the long legs and stuff, or it has been for a little bit, and I see there's seeds on them, and I'm wondering, what do I need to do with those to prepare them to be able to plant next fall, and or is it worth my trouble?
It could be worth your trouble if you were sort of really into it, that kind of thing. But if you're just a, what I call a garden variety gardener like me, I mean, I've got book learning, but in practice, I'm a garden variety gardener, and it ain't worth it.
Okay, that's kind of what I was thinking. I was like, you know, if it's really cool, but I mean, the plants were like $2, $3, $4, something like that.
Yeah, so. Well, try this though. Here's something you can do. Go to a garden center and get you 3 or 4 packets of lettuce and kale and mustard seeds. Just 3 or 4 packets, different kinds. Get you some red lettuce. Get you some green lettuce. Get some bunch. Okay. And take those and mix them all up together. And then if you'll just take a pinch, just the tiniest little pinch you can of that mixture and put them in little pots and water them, they'll grow up as a mixed salad. And you could pop it out of the pot, stick it in the ground, and grow your own mix.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, and the word for that is mesclun, M-E-S-C-L-U-N, mesclun. You could have a Mississippi mesclun by just mixing your own stuff.
Love it. And do they only really grow in the fall and the winter?
Cool weather. When it gets hot, they get bitter. And yeah. By sending up those seed things, that's called bolting. They're about to flower. They got to flower and then set seed, and then the seeds got to mature before they're ready to save.
Okay. I've never grown it before, so I'm just letting it do what it does because it's pretty.
Find a couple of three or four different kinds of lettuce, you know, different kinds, and mix them together, whatever you like. Put some sweet ones, put some bitter ones, put a little, you know, whatever. And then if you'll start, you know, get you a little six-pack or like a styrofoam egg carton with a hole punched in the bottom of the cups.
Yep.
And just every couple of weeks, just start you 3 or 4 or 6 more. Then you could do that from late August, September, right up until April or first part of May and get something to eat before it gets too hot.
I love it.
Keep them coming.
You.
Keep new ones coming on is what I'm saying.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, little bit by little bit.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Nothing to
this
it.
So much fun. I love your show. Have a good day.
Thanks, Heidi.
Uh-huh.
Now, speaking of eating stuff, my edible of the day, I brought some burgundy mustard. Look at that. It's just as maroon as it can be. Go dogs, you know, bulldogs. Anyway, burgundy mustard, and I've got little purple and yellow violas, little miniature daffodil pansy-looking things. And also I got a weed from my yard. This is called chickweed. Chickweed has tiny little flowers, little small leaves sort of shaped like a long, skinny toenail, I guess. Chickweed is perfectly edible. And you mix it with some mustard, some violas, some pansies, maybe some dandelion leaves, and put some Italian dressing on it. Nobody will know that you got it from the yard. Anyway, you can do that kind of stuff. Let's go to Covington, Louisiana. Polly, how are you this morning?
Hey, Felder, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. I have a question about feeding trees, fertilizing trees. Mm-hmm. How and when do you do it?
Okay. You got grass anywhere near them?
Not really. No.
Well, the reason I'm saying, because trees got roots way out from their limbs. If you stick your arms and wiggle your fingers, that's where the tree roots are. And so what you want to do is just broadcast the fertilizer. The reason I ask, if you have lawn, if you fertilize your lawn, if the lawn is anywhere near the tree, trees can have roots out there. Fertilize your lawn, you fertilize your tree. If you don't have grass, just take some fertilizer, an all-purpose fertilizer, even a lawn food, and away from the trunk, out under the branch, just scatter it on top of the ground and be done with it. At least every – research says at least every 3 years or so. But,
okay,
you know, every 4, 5, or 8, or 10 years is better than nothing. But more than once every 2 or 3 years, not necessary.
Okay. And you recommend that over liquid?
Yeah. Liquid is expensive, and it's temporary. It, you know, you put it out there, after 2 or 3 good rains, it's washed away. The granule stuff, they dissolve slowly over a lot. They give a nice, long, slow feeding. And you've heard of these trees, these spikes.
Yeah. I don't use them.
I'll tell you how they work. You know, you tap them into the ground, and they fertilize that hole.
A
foot over, those roots are saying, hey, what about us? The way to use tree spikes is put them in a bag, take a hammer to it, grind them up in a bunch of dust, and then spread that everywhere.
Oh, that's an idea. That's
no,
good.
It's
that's
too
good.
Expensive. Just get you a bag of tree food or lawn food or something like that. And by the way, you can fertilize trees in the late summer because the roots continue in the fall, but it'd be better to fertilize in the springtime when they start putting their leaves out and start pulling stuff up in the tree. It doesn't do, a lot of fertilizer is going to wash away if you put it out now. So sometime in the spring.
Okie dokie. Well, thanks for the info. Love
All right.
the show.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
That's it. Bye.
Okay. We're going to talk to James up in Nashville, Tennessee. Hey, James, what's going on up in the mountains?
Hey, I'm doing okay. I'm in, like I said, I'm in northern part of between Nashville and the Tennessee-Kentucky border.
Yeah.
So that's the middle Tennessee. That's where I am.
Yeah.
And I have a couple of questions.
Okay.
One is, I have a mum plant. It's in a flower pot that I had outside last year, but I brought it in after I cut it back.
Yeah.
And it's already got blooms on it inside the house.
Yeah.
So after it blooms, can I cut it back and bush it out and maybe make it bloom again?
Yeah, as long as you keep it alive. Yeah, but chrysanthemums are perennial plants. They can live as long as they don't die. And that sounds really weird, but if they stay too wet or too dry or freezes, then it can die. But otherwise, you can keep it. You can actually pull it out of the pot. You know, after it blooms, cut it back, pull it out of the pot, you know, loosen the potting soil, and then probably 2 or 3 different plants in there, pull them apart. And replant each one in its own pot. Mums are what they call day length sensitive. When the days get shorter, they start setting their flower buds. But if we have kind of nice warm temperatures like indoors, the days are short anyway. They think it's a short day, and they'll flower again in the spring.
Cool. Excellent. Excellent, because they're already starting to bud just a little bit. I forgot what color they are, but that doesn't matter.
They'll do better if you set them outside on nice days. They don't, you know, indoors, you know, they like real sunshine, not what comes through the window, longer than what you get through the window. And also, they like the humidity. They grow perfectly well in cool temperatures. So as long as it's not freezing or frosting, I leave them outside where they get real sunshine.
About what degree? Because
freezing.
I've been around flowers. Okay, I've been around flowers my whole life. My grandmother loves flowers. My Uncle Bill had a garden, like vegetable garden.
Yeah.
So I've been around plants my whole life. But it's just what temperature is like. Maybe today's supposed to be 40 degrees, so should I put it outside?
40 is fine. 40 is fine. Freezing, frost or freezing is going to stop the plants. You know, freezing will kill them, but frost will stop them. But as long as it's above 40, 50 degrees, they love it out there. They grow better.
Okay, cool.
Hit them with a little fertilizer and put them out in the sun.
Okay, cool. One other question. I have an oak tree that's close to my front porch. And it's about a foot and a half tall. And does it get that much bigger? Because I think what happens is it's so close to the house, and it's dormant right now. So could I transplant it now? Would it be better? Maybe a flower pot for now, or should I just plant it somewhere else than what I want it to be?
No, I dig the hole where you want it to be first, then go back and dig it up and immediately stick in the new hole and water it and walk away from it.
Okay, cool.
And put it at the same depth. You know, whatever depth it is right now, don't plant it an inch or so deeper. Just, you know, dig your hole so you can just pull it up, stick it in the new hole, and walk away from it.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it.
I hope you have a beautiful day, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, we got some other calls online, but I like to sort of shake stuff up a little bit. I got a cheesy tune to play. I'm horticulturist Phil Russian, Java Chapman. You know, when we're taking breaks, we just laugh about stuff and make fun of stuff. You know, not people, of course, but situations, because that's the way we are. That's just the way people are. But if you want to talk about gardening, we're going to be here right up until the end of the hour. I like to mix stuff up with just a little bit of a tune to sort of reset, take that Etch-A-Sketch, turn it upside down over our heads, and give it a couple of good shakes and start back over. And when we come back, we're going to jump right in. Horticulturist Felder Rushing, Java Chapman, Kevin Farrell, who's our phone greeter today, here at Mississippi Public Broadcasting. Glad to have a garden party with y'all. We'll be right back.
Well, I went down to the schoolyard. Here is what I found: a whole mess of kids singing songs and digging in the ground. I said, "What is this that's going on? Explain this thing to me." They said, "Come along and dig with us, and pretty soon you'll see." Yeah, they were planting trees and vegetables and blueberry bushes too. These kids, they had it going on. Yeah, they knew just what to do. Grooving in the garden, what a fine way to go. If you want to guarantee you got good food to eat, then grow, baby, grow. Yeah, grooving in the garden, everybody join along. We're planting seeds of community and singing a mighty song. So I ran down to the town hall, said, "Mayor, come and see. The kids are getting everyone to help grow our community." We grabbed ourselves some shovels and a packet of seeds or two. Joined our neighbors heading down to be part of the garden crew. There were grandmothers, teenagers, and burbling babies too. All working hard, having fun. What a cool thing to do. Grooving in the garden, what a fine way to go. If you want to guarantee you got good food to eat, then grow, baby.
Deep South Dining is the show all about the culture of Southern flavor. From fried chicken and collard greens to shrimp and grits and a glass of sweet tea. Subscribe now to the podcast using any podcast app or download our MPB public media app.
Okie dokie, folks. Welcome back. Horticulturist Felder Rushing. I've been playing with flowers. I've got big old pansies. I've got panolas. I've got violas. I've got some dianthus and some parsley. All I got from my garden this morning, and I just made a pretty little bouquet with them. These are plants that will not freeze. Here in the Deep South, we enjoy stuff that they got to grow all summer way up north. So anyway, if you want to talk about winter stuff, summer stuff, fall, spring, indoors, outdoors, this is the time. Give us a call, toll-free 1-877-MPB-RING. We're going to start out right now with Tom. And is Ingomar? Ingomar? Is that where you are?
Yes, sir. Ingomar. That's kind of between Palmetoc and New Albany.
Okay.
Well, good morning, Mr.
What's up?
Got a curiosity question about azaleas. You said don't ask about numbers, just azaleas. So that's, lucky that that's what my question is.
I'm not kidding either.
My grandmother had like a porch all the way across the front of her house, and she had azalea bushes, just call them bushes, along the front. Now, when you're on the porch, you know, the railing's about waist high. When you're standing on the ground, it's about 5.5-6 feet.
Yeah.
Now, these things have gone nuts. She passed away, and these things have just gone nuts, and they're now, you can walk across the porch and not be seen.
Yeah.
And they be cut back. She kept them always at railing height.
Yeah.
So well, they would bloom, you know, low.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal, Tom. You can cut, and this is something that I have done. This is not, you can do this. This is something that is done all the time. Have you ever seen somebody cut a crepe myrtle to the ground and it sprouts back out?
Oh, yes. My mom has six of them, and I'm always the one out there with the sawzall.
Okay. Well, you got a sawzall. You're set up. I wouldn't cut azaleas that far, but where you can cut azalea back to a foot high, 2 feet tall. Wherever you make a cut, the new growth is going to come out right there. So what you can do is after they get through blooming, you know, go ahead and enjoy them this year. When they get through blooming, sometime, you know, April, May, June, sometime in the late spring or early summer, you can cut those things back to the ones closest to the rail, leave a little bit taller. The ones out towards the yard, cut them a little bit closer. So when they branch out, they'll bush out instead of all at one spot. They'll bush out at different heights. And there won't be a leaf left on them. Now, you say this is your grandmother's azaleas, right?
Right, they've gotten so spiky and tall.
When
they bloom, you can't see off.
I know.
You can't be seen.
I'm with you on this. I mean, I've cut huge azaleas back to knee high, and they sprouted back out. Now, here's the deal: two things. First of all, when you cut them layer, a little bit taller towards the porch, a little bit lower out towards the street, and when they sprout out, it's real important to snip the tips off that new growth by the middle of the summer. So instead of shooting up out of sight, that new growth will bush out itself and stay nice and compact with more flowers next year. So cut them hard right after they bloom. Sometime in June or so, go back and snip the tips off that new growth and leave them alone after that. They'll set flower buds and bloom. Now, that's the first thing. You got to tip prune that new growth. Second thing is, people in your family are going to dog talk you for doing this. They're going to think you just ruined grandma's azaleas. Just hold your head up and go on. They'll do fine.
Well, that was my main thing is, can they be, you know, cut back at porch railing height now in the colder weather?
No. You cut them now, there goes all your flowers. Every cut you make, you know, they got their flower buds right now for this spring. So every cut you make now, there goes all those flowers.
I should have been doing it back in November then, I guess.
No, that's what I'm saying. Spring blooming plants, they sit their flower buds for spring in the late summer and fall. If you prune azaleas past around first or middle of July, they don't have time to make flower buds. So you prune azaleas after they get through blooming up until about the middle of the summer and then leave them alone till the next year, or you're going to mess up next year's flowers. Now, if you just want to neaten them up, go ahead and neaten them up. But if you want to get them back into shape, just rejuvenate them, start over again, you could do every other one this way, you know, and you'll see that it works, and that'll give you the confidence to do the other ones. But wherever you make your cut, Tom, the new growth comes out right there. So if you cut them back to railing height, the new growth's going to come out at railing height. Ain't going to have anything down below there. So cut them below where you want them to grow back up to, is what I'm saying.
Nobody really knew when she was doing what. You know, she would go out and do stuff, and then they always look beautiful.
Yeah, but she also knew that if she cut on them past the middle of the summer, that they would put out new growth and wouldn't have flowers. So sometime after get through blooming up until sometime in late June, that's when you cut azaleas.
Outstanding. All right, I will do then. Thank you so much.
Good. Hey, and if you want to just do one of them just to see. You'll see, first of all, they'll sprout back out, but you also see people are going to dog talk you because they think you killed Meemaw's azaleas.
Yeah, well, it's not much different than normal, I guess.
That's right. The main thing is don't prune them in the late summer or the fall or the winter. They won't bloom.
All righty.
Good luck on it, man. Who? People are scared to cut stuff. Cut stuff. The only, you know, won't kill the plant. Just don't want to mess up the flowers if you can. Okay, and then slide down and over a little bit to Oxford. Hi, Mary. Good morning.
Good luck on it, man.
Mary. Hey, Mary.
Turn off the radio?
Yeah, turn it down. Turn your radio down, Mary.
I got it off.
Yeah, how we doing?
I'm okay.
Good.
Well, I'm a really good camellia cutter and killing them when I try to root them. I've tried it twice. Do you have a way of rooting camellias that maybe I can do?
Yes, there's a couple of ways. And I have a hard time with camellias, too. A lot of plants root quickly and easily. Some plants are slow to root. Camellias are like that. You want to root them this summer. Let the new growth come out this spring and kind of toughen up a little bit. We're talking about June or so. And take cuttings of this year's growth after it toughens up a little bit. You want to take them just a few inches long with and strip off all but two or three leaves and put them in some moist potting soil. Not wet, but moist, and then cover them with a little plastic tent like a greenhouse. That'll keep the humidity high. And so short cuttings, three or four leaves left, high humidity, and bright light, but not real sunshine in the summertime. And that's one way to do it. Other way is if you got a branch that'll reach the ground, bend it over, stick it in the ground where the tip comes back out, and put a brick on it so it doesn't come out by accident. And over the summertime, it'll root in the ground and cut it off next fall and got your whole plant.
Yeah, well, I stole some from up by the pool.
So you get,
I don't think they'd appreciate my putting bricks up there.
No.
Yeah.
But anyway, the best time, new growth after it's toughened up, June or July, small cuttings, bright indirect light, and a little plastic tent. You know, if you put it in the full sun, it's going to overheat in the little plastic. So we want really bright light. But plastic over to keep the humidity high.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I'll give it another try. I tried it this way, but I was not successful.
I cannot tell you how many times I've rooted stuff that are easy to root that don't root for me, including roses, camellias, azaleas. And I taught plant propagation in college, but it doesn't always work for me.
Well, I'll give it another try.
Good luck on it.
Maybe the third time's the magic.
Well, and try this. Do it two or three different times, a couple of 3 weeks apart. That way,
okay.
Because it might be that the first one's root, the second, third was don't, or the second one bash roots. But do two or three different times over about a month, starting in June or so, and up your chances at least something working.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe so. All right. Well,
good
thanks a lot.
Good luck
love
on it.
Love your program.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
All righty. Now, and we're aiming. I've got my eye on a caller who called a little while ago. I was talking about her last week. But we're going to go down to Greenwood. Excuse me, Pat in Fairhope. Hey, Pat. Hello.
Hey there.
Howdy. What's going on?
Well, I had a lovely experience during Hurricane Sally, and I hope it's okay to do this on this particular episode. I lost 12 trees in my backyard.
Uh-huh.
And I want to know, I want a hedge. I'm probably too old to grow shade trees before I die, but I sure would like a 6 to 10 foot hedge back there. And I wonder what grows fast down in this area, because, I lost everything, and all I have out my back now is crappy-looking sheds on the neighbor's side.
I get it. You want quick training. Well, let me suggest, instead of going with the tree, and you can have a tree in your lifetime, but if you want a tree, here's a real quick tip. Plant a small one, a tree that's about waist high or head high, will outgrow one that's 10 feet tall every time. So a small tree will always outgrow a bigger one, always, quicker.
Okay.
But as far as something real quick, we've got a handful of good evergreen shrubs that are fast growing. You know what wax ligustrum is?
I do.
You know, wax ligustrum, again, if you get some small ones, then they grow really, really quick. A little bit of fertilizer, not much, a little at a time, a couple of times, and a good soaking every 3 or 4 weeks, and they grow quick.
Really?
But now here's a tip. To get them to grow quick, do two things. Dig a wide hole and loosen up the potting soil in the roots. Stir your potting soil into your dirt and then mulch them. But always loosen up those roots and put them in a wide hole and cover with mulch, a little water and fertilizer, and they will jump.
Okay. Well, I also plan to put some fruit trees out there, like satsumas and kumquats.
Right.
And that's okay to have the,
sure,
you know, like 25 feet away to have those fruit trees. There's not a problem.
There's no problem. You can mix them in there, have every other one. Now kumquats don't get very big. You know, they're not really big, but you know, why not go ahead and put you a mixture? If you put some ligustrum, there's a native plant called wax myrtle. There's a big old plant called elegs. There's four or five really good fast growing shrubs. But again, a small one in a wide hole with the roots loosened up will get established and really jump. And then stick a satsuma in with them and a kumquat. You don't have to have solid anything.
No, I don't plan. I'm not after solid. I just want to get rid of the what looks like a cornfield that got plowed up, getting ready to plant.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I do. And one last thing, you know, if you got the sun in your eyes, you can hold your hand up in the sky and put it just the right angle where just your hand can shade out all of the sun.
Yeah.
You can do that with a shrub or an evergreen thing closer to you, or take a piece of lattice, turn it sideways, and put it between a couple of posts. You know, not like a fence, but like a billboard that's between you and the view. You know, it could be 3 feet off the ground.
Yeah.
Going up, but in other words, just put your little piece of lattice 2 or 3 feet off the ground, going up 4 or 5 feet. And put a vine on it. Do that in the foreground, and everything else disappears till your plants get some size on them. It's called a baffle. Think small billboard, and use it like you would your hand to shade your eyes from those old, what'd you say, crappy buildings. Anyway, think about putting a baffle for the short term while your other plants get some size on them.
Well, that's an idea. Any particular vines you recommend for down here?
There's too many. You got too many choices on the coast.
Okay.
You know, gourds. Gourds are quick and they're pretty and they're fun.
Okay, great.
Okay, Pat.
You're wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Okay, now I'm aiming for another call, but we got one call before her, and we're going to go down over to Greenwood and talk to Bill. Hey, Bill, how are you, sir?
Hey, brother, I'm kind of cold today.
It's chilly. What can I help you with?
I got two questions. I got something about wildflowers, but you were talking about something last time about older people and
We're starting to run out of time, so let's keep it a gardening. What's up?
Okay, I'll put that off till next time.
Yeah, call early and talk about old folks, because then you're talking my business.
It was a real quick little thing. Yeah, I've got some wildflower seeds, but you know, a lot of them are for like the Southwest, California.
Yep.
And I was just wondering, can I plant them, or will I have any kind of luck? You know, like Indian paintbrush and
You might. These things bloom in the late winter and the spring, usually April or so. But they've been growing all winter, like stickers and clover. They're best planted in the fall. But since you got the seed, I'd go ahead and throw them out there and see what happens.
Okay, well, that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah, think clover and ryegrass and stickers. Plant most wildflowers, spring blooming wildflowers, you plant them in the fall, then grow over the wintertime, bloom in the spring.
You going back to England anytime soon, or you
know,
stay home?
Right now, my passport's got COVID written all over it. They won't let me anywhere in the world except maybe Mexico or Vietnam. But anyway, got a scoop, man. Appreciate
right,
it, Bill.
Bye.
Now, just last week, I was talking to somebody that said they haven't heard from Chainsaw Kate, and boom, here she is. How are you, Kate?
Well, I'm up and kicking.
They said we haven't heard from in a while. How you doing?
Well, I tried to get into you a couple of times, and I couldn't.
Well,
I was too far on the list.
Well, and you were moving last time I talked to you.
Yeah, yes, and I do now have a date. It will be, well, sometime in April.
Good. Well, what can we help you with? I'm sorry we're running out of time, but what can I help you with? Or what can you help me with?
I don't know what to take up and what not to take up in April. Can I take up, I have daylilies and I have irises. Oh, and the other thing is, what do you call the bulb that, people call milk and wine lily.
Milk and wine lily is a type of crinum, C-R-I-N-U-M. And you can move crinums, daylilies, and irises anytime you feel like it. They're all tough as nails.
Yeah. Okay. I know where I'm going to be living, and I don't know. You think they'll make a damn Yankee out of me?
I doubt it. I doubt it. Hey, listen. You take your chainsaw with you, and tell them to shut up.
Oh, yeah. I'm moving in with my son and daughter-in-law in just south of I'm moving into Massachusetts, just south of Boston. You think I'll become a Bostonian?
Nope, you won't. But anyway, I got some real good friends up there who do what I do. So we'll hook you up with some folks up there who speak, who understand the South, and will treat you with kindness and respect that you deserve.
Okay. One real quick question.
Okay, we're out of time, so make it real quick.
Yeah. Did you get those pictures back when you all went out in the studio? A friend of mine sent you a bunch of pictures of my flowers.
I did. But I'd have to look for them, because that's been a while back. But anyway, we got a scoot, Kay. I'm so glad to hear from you. Glad you're doing well. And they won't make a Yankee out of you up in Massachusetts, but maybe you could teach them some manners. I'm more horticulturist Felder. I shouldn't say manners. I got good friends up in New Hampshire and Connecticut and Massachusetts and Rhode Island. A lot of good horticulture friends. But anyway, we've been talking about gardening. As I say all the time, I've written a bunch of books, but I don't know it all. I wish I didn't know some of it. But I don't mind people helping us all out. That's the way we do it here at MPB. We share what we know, and we help each other out. I'm going to take a week-long break and come back same time, same place next week. Hope to see some of y'all on the 6th at the Greenwood Cemetery downtown Jackson to learn about pruning and rooting roses. Meanwhile, if you get a chance to take a kid to a garden center, they got flowers out there and pots. Teach kids how to do what we do best. It's so important that kids learn how to get dirty. See y'all next week.